to hold your finger in two places for most of this morning. So stick one finger right now in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. That's where we'll start. And stick your other one over in, if you would, Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, I might get just a little loud this morning, so I don't know if that's loud out there, but however it is, I don't want to hurt anybody's ears. Joshua chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 11. This is one of those messages where you can get just a little excited, but we'll save the excitement, some of the real excitement for tonight. Joshua chapter 3, if you would, and Hebrews chapter 11. Is it too loud out there to you all? Okay, well, all right. Everybody in good shape? Are you all hot? Yeah? Somebody over here? Anybody cold? Okay, everything's normal then. Some people are hot. Some people are cold. That's perfect. Joshua chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 11. In Joshua chapter 3, look there with me if you would. And notice Joshua is rising up in verse 1 early in the morning. And God's going to give some instructions to Joshua to give to the rest of Israel. And Joshua's going to tell the leaders, if you would, the officers, that they're supposed to pass through the host and tell the people what's about to happen. Look at verse 3. And they command the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it." Follow after the Ark. That's a depiction, if you would, of the throne of God. What they're saying is, we're going to follow after God here. Verse 4. "Yet there shall be a space between you and it," it being the Ark, where the throne of God is depicted, "about 2,000 cubits my measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go." Little statement. "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." You haven't gone this way. You haven't been this route before. You haven't never been to this place before. This is going to be new to you. It's going to be fresh to you. And you're just going to have to follow after God and watch what happens. We're going to let Him go out ahead of us. We're going to follow after Him, but stay up with Him because we've not gone this way heretofore. Now, obviously, one of those men out there is Joshua. He's never been that way yet before either. This is going to be new to him. You're going to hold your place now over in Exodus. Put your finger now in Exodus chapter 13, and then we're going over to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to flip back and forth just a little bit. Hey, Joshua, you never passed this way heretofore. This is new. We're going somewhere where you've never yet been. Hebrews, we're going there in just a moment, and Exodus chapter number 13. Look over in the book of look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 now. And chapter 11 is the chapter by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. You're holding your place in Exodus 13. Joshua, you never passed this way yet heretofore. Look at Hebrews now, the book of Hebrews, you're doing well. And look, if you would, in chapter number 11, verse 24, the person that the subject matter is about is Moses. But I want you to be reminded of something. Look, if you would, in verse 28. Verse 28. "Through faith, he," Moses, "kept the Passover." Let me just remind you that as Moses was keeping the Passover, so was Joshua. I just want you to think with me for a minute. Joshua was much younger at this time. But as Moses and all Israel kept that Passover, that first Passover that was new to them, Joshua was with them. Joshua was among them. He was a much younger man, but when they, through faith, kept that Passover, the first time they knew anything about a Passover, Joshua kept it too. And the sprinkling of the blood, lest that he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29, "By faith they," Israel, "passed through the Red Sea." You know who passed through the Red Sea also? Joshua did. Joshua was in that congregation passing through that Red Sea, "as by dry land, which the Egyptians assayed to do, were drowned." Verse 30, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down." You know who that's talking about? Joshua. Joshua was there when they, by faith, kept the Passover. And Joshua was there when, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And Joshua was there, by faith, when those walls fell down. Joshua overlived Moses, but it seems like God was constantly asking Joshua, look up here, to do something new by faith. Wonderful thing about Christianity, He's always asking us to do something new. Christianity, walking by faith Christianity, vibrant Christianity, alive Christianity, is not boring. There's nothing boring about a Christianity that goes by faith, follows after God, if you would, and builds that faith to do something new. May I say to you, this is the last Sunday of this year. Next Sunday will be a new year. And may I say to you, God's got something new planned for all of us. God's got something new planned in the year, next year, for every one of us. It's going to be something we've never passed that way heretofore before. Your family may go through something new. Your marriage may go through something new. You as an individual may go something new. I'll guarantee you, you're in a church right now that's going to do something new next year. That doesn't mean liberal. But we've got some more plans next year to do something, if you would, to encourage your faith, to encourage our church, and God's got some plans for it. Let me say again. By faith, Joshua did that Passover. Never done that before. By faith, he passed through that Red Sea. Never done that before. By faith, he did many things. Look at Exodus. Hold your place. Put a finger in the book of Hebrews. We're not done there yet. Put a finger in the book of Hebrews and go over to Exodus chapter 13. You're doing well. Stay right with me. In Exodus chapter 13, watch what happens. They had just had the Passover. And remember, as they were doing the Passover, putting that blood on the doorpost, the firstborn, every house, the firstborn in the Egyptian household, someone, the firstborn was dying. Look at Exodus chapter 13. And notice, if you would, verse 17. Verse 17, you're doing well. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent, turn around, turn back, when they see war, and they return to Egypt. You know what he was saying in verse 17? Their belief, their confidence, their faith, their understanding, their ability is not strong enough yet for them to go to war right now. They're not able to bear that. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to take them up to the land of the Philistines. Their faith isn't strong enough yet. We're going to go another way. And by the way, by going that other way, I'm going to show myself strong, and I'm going to draw Pharaoh in. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and I'm going to draw him right in, because he thinks they're going to be entangled in the wilderness, and there's a wall of water out there, and we got them now, but I got a big plan here. And God had a plan that nobody had seen before, nobody understood, because they had not yet passed this way heretofore before. And if you understand what happens, he leads them over, if you would, to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Look at chapter 14. Stay right with me. Chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Notice what he says in verse number 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, Exodus 14:3, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. What does hardening mean there? Pride. Pharaoh's going to be proud and lifted up, and he's going to be angry at them. Only by pride cometh contention. Would you agree with that statement? And Pharaoh is so angry with what has just happened that his anger drives him after the Israelites, if you would, and God's pulling him into a trap so he can get glory out of Pharaoh. Verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So here goes Pharaoh, and he's chasing after them. He's pursuing after them, and we'll skip over just a little bit. You can read it sometime, because they come up, if you would, to the Red Sea. Not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea. It's the big body of water. It's a miracle of God, if you would. You say, do you really believe that? I believe it with all my heart, don't you? The more I believe in God, the more I believe everything in this Bible is true. You ought to listen to that God of the impossible, but the same God today will ask us to do some things maybe in our lifetime that we've never done heretofore before. And the idea was, they got to that Red Sea in verse 23, please. Verse 23. The Bible says, the Egyptians pursued and went in. Went in after them to the midst of the sea. Now they're in that, if you would, sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Brethren, we know it's the Red Sea. Pharaoh couldn't fit in the Reed Sea. He's down in that water, if you would, on dry ground. He's chasing after the Egyptians. The water are walls to him. And he's going through this channel that God has created for the Israelites. And he's following hard after them. And God's got a plan. They are now in the ambush. They are now in the snare. They're now in the trap. And God's just about ready to do something, because as the Israelites come up on dry ground on the other side, he says, now, Moses, that rod in your hand, turn back around. Now stretch forth that rod now. And by the way, just before he does that, he takes the wheels off of all the chariots. So he's got that army right where he wants them. He's got Pharaoh right where he wants them. And he tells Moses, now stretch forth your rod. And all of Israel is standing watching with the Egyptian army chasing after them when Moses lifts up that rod and this huge body of water engulfs them and covers them. You say, do you really believe that happened? Look what he says, if you would, in verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians. That which they were afraid of, that which they were fearful of, that which was coming to get them. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Well, that took care of that problem, amen? Gone. But in the midst of Israel was Joshua. And he watched all that. And his faith is going to build. His confidence in what God's doing is going to build. Because God's going to ask him to do some things in the future. Look at Exodus chapter 17. You're still holding your place in Hebrews. Stay right with me. Everybody still all right this morning? Exodus chapter 17, watch. Holding your place in the book of Hebrews still. Exodus chapter 17. Remember he said, we're not going to go up the way of the Philistines lest they repent when they see war, when they come into conflict. Now, Exodus 17, and let's understand something. They just saw a battle that they didn't have to fight. They just saw what God could do to an army of chariots. They just saw God's abilities. But now, he says, now I'm going to let you go into a battle and I'm going to let you be involved. And by the way, this is the first time, they've not passed this way here to before, this is the first time they're going to fight, if you would, kind of hand on hand, come into contact. Look at Exodus chapter 17. Stay with me. Verse 8. Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Joshua, I want you to choose out men. We're now going out to battle. I'll be up on the top of the hill with the rod of God. You lead the army. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. First time Joshua had ever led an army. And fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron Hur went up to the top of the hill. You know what happened up there? When the rod came down, Joshua started losing. When the rod went back up and holding it up, Joshua was winning. So they stayed Moses' hands up there until the going down of the sun. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Watch verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Make sure Joshua hears it. Make sure he sees it. Make sure you rehearse it. Make sure he remembers it. By the way, at that time, they did not yet know that Joshua was going to be the leader in the promised land, but God already knew. Is that right? For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name. And he builds this altar, if you would, and he rehearses that matter, and he writes it in a book. Why? Because God knows later that Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. Joshua, first time for him, Passover. Joshua, not led up, if you would, into the Philistines, but Joshua, first leader, if you would, to command the army when God, if you would, fought the Amalekites. And now there's going to be many more times that Joshua's going to lead out. But I want you to remember something. Not everybody in Joshua's generation is going to cross the River Jordan. Some of them, their faith is going to die. Some of them, their faith is not going to mature. Some of them, in fact, most of them, are not by faith going over the River Jordan. By faith, they all kept the Passover. By faith, they were not led, if you would, up there, if you would, with the Philistines, but came around, and by faith, their first battle was with the Amalekites. They had watched the Egyptian army as by faith they had passed through the Red Sea. And they watch the Egyptian army being swallowed up and killed by God. And now that by faith they all fight the Amalekites, but when they get to Kadesh Barnea, most of them stop. Only three leaders that we know of wanted to go in. Joshua, Caleb and Moses. Everybody else didn't want to go in. Why? Because their faith wasn't mature enough. Their understanding wasn't mature enough. And they turned around in their hearts and wouldn't go farther. Would you agree with that statement? Joshua did not miss out on what God's goal for him was. Caleb got his mountain. Joshua and Caleb went through all those things. It was new. It was first time, if you would. But the rest of them turned around. And God had something else planned for Moses. The point of this message is simply this. If our faith does not continue to grow, we'll miss something God has planned for us. If our faith does not continue to grow, we'll miss something God has planned for us in our lifetime. Would you agree with that statement? I'm talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about your marriage, your family, your business, our church, our ministries. If our faith does not continue to grow, we'll miss something God has planned for us. Would you agree with that statement? Joshua, by faith, not only did he partake of the Passover, not only did he go through the Red Sea, but he also fought there with the Amalekites. He also was the leader, if you would, became a leader. Moses was still there, but he became a leader when they fought King Herod, King Og, King Sion. They crossed the River Jordan and they went into Jericho and conquered Jericho. And then they got rid of the five kings, and then they got rid of more kings, and then they got rid of 31 kings, and they just kept conquering and conquering and conquering and conquering. And Joshua did something with his faith. It went on. A statement about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. Would you agree with that statement? I hope you do, because that's Bible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what we want to be careful of is our faith stagnating. Our faith stopping in its growth. Faith comes from God. Would you agree with that? Statement. Faith comes from God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If you believe in God, it's because God put it in us. Would you agree with that statement? If we believe in God today, it's because God gave us the ability to believe. He's the author. He's the originator. And He's the finisher of our faith. But if we don't allow Him the chance to finish it, we miss something. Faith comes from God. Faith also comes by understanding the Word of God. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that statement? Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. The idea is faith comes by understanding the Word of God. Faith comes by understanding God. Faith comes by understanding His Word. And faith comes by walking with Him. Would you agree with that? Now, faith also requires action. Why? Because we can't just be a hearer of the Word of God. We must be a what? A doer. Faith requires action. Faith requires doing something. The Word of God is not just to be memorized, it's to be applied. If all somebody does is memorize the Word of God and knows things about the Word of God, knowledge can puff them up. It's the doing something with the Word of God that gives the understanding. It's the doing something with the Word of God that increases the faith. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we can't just be hearers, we have to be doers. And then we know James chapter 2 says this, faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without actions based on this book, and faith without actions based on that faith, it will stagnate and die. Faith is alive when we do something with it. Somebody says, oh boy, that person really understands the Word of God. What are they doing with it? Let me say it again. Oh, they just really understand the principles of the Word of God. Wonderful. What are they doing with it? What are we doing with it in our homes? What are we doing with it in our marriages? What are we doing with it in our personal life? What are we doing with it in our church? Because faith has to have actions to keep alive. Is that a right statement? God gives us understanding to the Word of God. And then He says, now apply it. Use it. Do something with it. And then we do something with it, and He says, now I'm going to give you more understanding. I'll give you more faith. But with more faith comes requirements of more actions. Is that right? Statement. Joshua made it all the way through. Passover, Red Sea, Amalekite battle, the 10 spies, King Herod, King Og, King Sion, all the way over to the River Jordan. His faith was growing because he was doing. But some stopped. So what did God let them do? He let them wander around 40 years and do nothing. That's what He let them do. Is that right? Isn't that a type of what Christianity is in the New Testament? Somebody can start and they can get saved. And they can be growing in their faith and understanding and become a doer. But if they're not careful, if they stop the doing of it, and they stop the understanding of it, and they stop the reading of it, and they stop the abiding of it, and they stop, if you would, the actions based on faith and the understanding based on faith, they can begin to wander around and accomplish very little for God. Would you agree with that statement? This is just so clear to me. I hope it is to you. Faith comes from God. God gives the understanding to the Word of God. Then, if you would, with that understanding, we do something with it, we act upon it, and that builds our faith as we see God's work and God's hand and God's helping us and God's doing miraculous things. Hey, I hope in our church this year you've seen and watched as God has done some miraculous things. I hope it's happened in your family. Because, brethren, look up here. We didn't do this. This is nothing but the hand of God. Nothing but the hand of God. Hey, nothing but the hand of God. And why is God's hand on it? Because He chooses to put His hand on it. And He chooses, if you would, to increase our faith. And to allow us to do some things that He has planned for us. But we have a free will. Would you agree with that statement? That doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation. It just means that either we're going to keep on doing and we're going to make it, if you would, to the goal that God has for us, or we don't. Every person in here, every family in here, every individual in here, don't tell me God doesn't have a plan for your life. Every one of us, God has a plan for our lives. Would you agree with that? And it's not something that He's surprised what the plan is. He knows what the plan is. He knows what's going to happen. We don't. So by faith, we do things sometimes that we've never done hereto before. We take a step of faith. Hey, brother, this is the first time this church has ever bought a camp. First time. Never passed that way hereto before. You say, what happens next? We go out and look at it, and the Holy Spirit shows us what to do with it. Yes. Nothing but the hand of God. Because if you remember, I don't know, probably maybe 6 months ago, I had a little meeting, and then I stood up and cast a little vision and said, you know, maybe we're supposed to have a camp. Yeah. Oh, whoa, you must have known. I didn't know anything. I knew nothing. It's just something in my heart, and I said, maybe we should have a camp. And up popped this camp. Now, if you think I knew anything, I didn't. If you think I got it all figured out, I don't. But it's exciting. It's very exciting. And by the way, your family needs to be excited about doing things for God. And your marriage and individuals. I mean, this is a family thing. And it's not just outreaching. It's stuff in our homes that we're learning the Word of God and training and watching things going on with our children and everything and telling them, hey, Christianity is real. God is real. Look what He's done. Rehearse it in their ears. Rehearse it so Joshua listens. Because one of these days, Joshua's going to need it. When he faces his AI, he'll need to remember this. You see, because one of the ways the Word of God grows in us is through tribulations and trials. Oh, grow my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you some new understanding. Oh, that's wonderful. I want to understand more because then my faith will grow and then I'll do more actions for you. And God says, wonderful. You ready? Job, Ready? You're going to build your faith, Job. You're going to try your faith. You're going to test it. You're going to prove it. Abraham. Is that right? Because what happens? We get into a trial. We get into a trouble. We get into tribulation. Look up here. Sometimes it just comes to us, and other times we do it to ourselves. Come on, is that right? We can't blame all our trials on somebody else. Some of them we bring on ourselves. Would you agree with that statement? I mean, don't blame everybody else because you go through tribulation. Maybe you prayed, "Oh God, increase my faith." And God says, "Wonderful, let's do that." The trying of your faith, more precious than gold. So in comes the tribulation and trial into our life. And you know what we should do? Start digging. Start digging in the Word of God. There must be an answer in there. There must be some understanding in there about this situation. There must be something in there that will guide me and direct me what to do. There must be something in there. And then when we get the understanding that gives us, if you would, what we need to get through it, through that understanding, God increases our faith, and the actions that we need to get through that trial matures our faith. And then on the other side, God says, "Now, I got something for you to do." As you study this Bible, you'll see many people going through trials, and just after the trial, God will say, "Now, let's do something. I had to test you first. I had to prove you a little bit first. Let's do something that you've never done before. Let me take you somewhere you didn't even know existed. Let me have you do something with someone else. Let me have you do something as a family. Let me have your marriage do something. Let me have you do something you've never done before." And that's what keeps Christianity fresh. Our faith being used, our faith being tried, our faith then by actions upon that faith, doing something with it and watching God work. And our faith builds more and more. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Everybody still all right? You sure we're all right? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. This is very exciting to me. Oh, I can't wait to get to tonight. Come on. Hebrews chapter 5. By the way, somebody says, "Man, I'd just like to get my faith moving again. I'd like to get my Christianity. It just seems like I'm stagnating." Brethren, if you walk with the wise, you shall be wise. Who we keep company with does determine a little bit about what we're doing in our faith. I like to be around people that want to do something for God. Don't you? Hey, I've been through the trials and the tribulations, and we'll have more next year. You may be going through one right now and say, "You know, this happy, jolly, fa-la-la Christmas, I'm just not having one." But God may be giving you the gift of increased faith right now, and you don't even know it. He may be getting you ready for next year. You may pass some way here to before next year you never passed before. And you'll look back on it when it's all over and that next phase is done, you'll say, "Man, I can see what God was doing now, and it was worth it. It was worth it. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't want to go through it again. But I wouldn't change it." Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Watch now. If you would, verse 12. Hebrews 5, 12. For the time, ye ought to be teachers. Meaning your faith should have grown. Your understanding of the Word of God should have grown. Ye have need that one teach you again. That means they knew it once before. You again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Look at that verse again. Hey, you all knew something. You all were taught the principles. But you know what now? You haven't grown, he says, and you have need that somebody has to go back and teach you the first principles, when by now you shouldn't just be feeding on milk of the Word. You ought to be in the strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk, first principles of the oracle is the God, basic things, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. He's a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. They've grown, they've matured. Even those who by, you ought to underline the next reason of use. You've got to use the Word of God. You have to put it into practice. We have to do something with it, if you would, by faith, using the Word of God in our lives, putting the principles, doing something, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if I were Satan, I would do everything I could to keep us out of the Word of God.
If I were principalities and powers, I would do everything I could to keep you away from your book. And then I would do everything I could to keep you away from doing something by faith to where your faith would build. I would do everything I could to break your confidence in God. I would do everything that I could to put a stumbling block in front of your actions for God. So you stop doing those actions, so your faith stagnates. I mean, I'd put in a stumbling block right in front of what you know you should be doing, whether it's in your home or in your business or in church, whatever it is. I'd put a big stumbling block so you trip on it and don't want to get up again. Because I know if I could do that, I could weaken your faith and I could get you stopped. I may not be able to get your salvation. Because I do believe once you're born into the family of God, you are born again. We have been adopted into the family of God. Once the adoption is done, it's done. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about wandering in the wilderness for a long time and doing nothing down here, but existing, eating cookies, just waiting for the next year to pass by, and then waiting for another year to pass by, and waiting for another year to pass by, another year, another year, another year. And before long, time on this earth is gone. And by the way, it goes very quickly. Famous, the older you get, the quicker time goes. That's true. Somebody says, where did the year go? I really don't know. But it's gone. But I can look back and say, we did something with it. I hope you can look back last year and say, I did something with that year. My faith grew, or my faith was tried. Or if your faith's a little weak right now, and we all get that way, nobody's condemning you. Nobody's, hey, I'm not discouraging you. I'm saying if you're in that trial right now and your faith is being tested, for a while you feel like your faith's getting weaker, but it's actually getting stronger. It's we that are getting weaker. And Him that is getting stronger in us. Is that right? As that faith gets stronger, we realize without Him we can do nothing. But with Him, some impossible things are possible. Got anything planned for next year? Tonight I'm going to tell you some of the plans for the church. By faith. You say, how do you know? I don't. Well, then what are you going to tell us we're planning for? I don't know. Maybe he'll do another camp caper. What do you mean? Stood up, had a little meeting with some people, said we ought to maybe think about getting a camp, and God gave us one. Don't think I'm just dreaming. Some of these dreams come into reality. You know what? We ought to have a vision. Because without that vision, without something we see out there motivating us. Hey, this is a book of momentum. This whole book is about momentum. This whole book is about moving forward and doing something. This whole book, you start reading the faith chapter and everybody in there did something. Everybody in there moved forward, but they couldn't do it without God. God was getting the glory all the way through. This whole book is a book of momentum and people losing momentum. You know how we lose momentum? We stop acting on our faith, and faith is diminished. And when faith is diminished, all kinds of things come up that begins to ensnare us and trap us and call our attention off the main thing. Distraction. Would you agree with that statement? Hey, some of you have done marvelous and wonderful this year. You say, but you don't know what I did behind the scenes. It doesn't matter. You're still in church. Your family's still together. Still going forward. Still got some plans. Still going to do something. Hey, you're not bitter this morning. You're not grudging anybody. You're not mad at God, or you wouldn't have come here. And here I am standing up on the last day, the last Sunday morning of this year, saying God's got some things planned that you've never passed here to before. And there are some things planned for that, but it's going to take an increased faith. We praise Him in tribulations. Why? Because we know He'll use tribulations to build our faith. And we know when He builds our faith, then we're going to act upon it, and He's going to help us, and we're going to do something that we never thought possible. And then after it's done, we'll look back and rejoice over what He's used us for. But it's all Him. Everything's Him. Some of you may be new here, but let me just cast something that we just did this year, some of the things, maybe just in the fall. We wanted to make sure that you have the opportunity for your faith to increase. So, we added classes in our Bible Institute. We made sure there was a family conference for marriages and family to increase and to get the edification of the Word of God in those areas. Made sure we did different things to have different preachers in and teaching and different things so your faith, your understanding of the Word of God would increase in your homes, in your families, your marriages, your businesses, whatever. But then we gave opportunity to do something with it. We had outreaches going on around our city, three or four different phases of them with different opportunities. And by the way, we had a wonderful fall. From bus days to big day to cantata, with everything going on and all that in there, we had ladies' conferences for our ladies. We had different things going on. And we had S.M. Davidson for homes and families and marriages and everything. Why? To give us the increase of the understanding so our relations could get stronger and deeper. Why? So we could hold together and do something for God. If I remember correctly, we've put a little more emphasis on missions this year. Oh, we've had some wonderful missions conferences. We had a lot of things going on with missions, and we deepened our mission outreach, if you would, in a lot of different ways. By what? Faith. Well, that's exciting to listen to all that and watch all that going on and seeing God using all that. If I remember correctly, we tried to help a few more pastors this year in other churches. Why? Not only did we do outreach in our area, not only did we go out in the uttermost, but we tried to help some pastors in different areas, if you would, in their churches to encourage the encouragers. Remember that. Now, is there anything wrong with kind of rehearsing a few of the things God did for us this year? Why? It builds our faith. It reminds us about what God has done. It helps us, if you would, to look back a little bit to see what God has done so we can look forward to the future and do even more with God's help and God's grace. Hey, brother, this concept of what we just did in the last few months or so, we had talked about doing something in a wonderful way, and we started an internet radio. And right now it's playing. Anybody that's on the internet can get it right now. And we've been working on that almost the entire year. And it's on right now. And we've got some plans for that. And then one of the last things we did this year was we just bought that camp. Now, you know what that camp is all about? In reach. Will it be used for outreach? Yeah, some. But mostly in reach. Mostly for our families, if you would, and for our bus ministries and for the different ministries we have, for marriages, for singles, just a place to go and get out and where we can be together for a little bit and have an extra bit of time together and the Word of God being taught. There's a reason for that camp. Once you go up and see it, you'll see. Oh, we got some wonderful things planned. So God's done some wonderful things this year. Just to let you know, and I'll give you just an inkling. Tonight I'll give you a little bit more. But the first quarter of next year, which, by the way, that would start Wednesday? Is that right? First quarter of next year starts Wednesday. In the first quarter of next year, we have a ladies' conference. That's in reach, friendship, teaching. We have a men's meeting we've got planned. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting in January. All-night prayer. They used to do that in the olden days. Let's go back to the old past, all right? In the old past, they used to pray all night. So we're going to organize one. Well, I didn't mean to get that serious. Come on now. That's no big deal. We give up a little food and fasting. We give up a little sleep. God bless us. So we're going to have an all-night prayer before we do something we've never done before. We've never had a leadership conference like we're planning. By the way, the leadership conference we're planning in February is for our church, too. We're going to have services on Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, staff conference on Thursday morning, and more preaching on Thursday night. Say, man, why are you having all that? To build our faith. And to help some pastors and churches and staff that will be coming in from different parts of the country. But you're welcome to come to every one of them. We're going to have preachers in from Australia. We're going to have preachers in from, Michigan and Arkansas. I'm going to preach a little bit. We're going to have other preachers in. It's going to be a wonderful time. You mean all that? I mean like preaching. Why? Because preaching builds our faith. Preaching gives us the understanding of the Word of God, which builds our faith, which then, if we do something with it, doesn't that sound exciting? I know it's that holiday spirit that's still upon us a little bit. But if I were a part of a church, I would want to know what the church is going to do. Not talk about doing. What the church is going to do. And I'd want to know what the church has done. We're going to have outreaches, Easter outreaches coming up again. Now, don't get this burned out. And by the way, one of the things we're going to highlight in the month of January is our Friday night ministry on the street. Why are you going to do that? The Super Bowl's coming. We're going to highlight our Friday night ministry on passing out tracts and everything. Why? Because the Super Bowl's coming. So I said, you mean football? No, I mean people. People are coming to San Diego. And we're going to get the Word of God out a little bit. Some of them are not coming from the Super Bowl. They're coming to get a gospel tract. They just think they're coming to the Super Bowl. They're paying all that money and planning on having all that fun. But really, what they're coming for is so we can put a gospel tract in their hand and they can have another chance for eternity. That's really why they're coming. So we're going to highlight that ministry. Again, Easter outreach. And I realize you say, man, we haven't even taken Christmas down yet. I know, but got to think ahead a little bit, amen? Oh, we got more plans. In-reach, training. Brother Wade has been talking about the Bible Institute. 16 classes are being offered. 16 English classes. 4 in Spanish. What? So your understanding of the Word of God, pick one, choose one, take one, so it can increase. There's a lot of things inwardly, if you would, to edify, and then opportunities to outwardly. We're going to have our sweetheart banquet, marriage emphasis. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful time. In fact, the first night of our leadership conference is going to emphasize marriage. The leader and the leader's wife. And we got some wonderful things planned. Everybody in the church can come. You can come Monday night. If you can't take off work, come Tuesday. Good, come Tuesday night. Every night, a couple of preachers will be preaching. Sounds like some late nights. Sounds like some wonderful nights. On Thursday night, we got some things planned. Some men who've never passed this way hereto before. They've never even been west of the Mississippi. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to have to listen very carefully so you understand what they say. We may have to have Brother Wade interpret. But they'll be wonderful. And this will be new to them. And we'll make them feel warm and comfortable and friendly with us. And we'll preach them. But again, there'll be some sayings that you go, wow, where'd they get that from? It'll be wonderful. They think we have an accent. So they'll be coming. There's some things coming up that we're going to use the camp for that we'll tell you about. I'm just saying that there's a lot of things upcoming. Our internet radio, we're going to increase the programming on that. We've got some things planned for that. And there's just a lot of things that we've done. There's a lot of things that we're planning. Outreach, in-reach, helping the home, helping the marriage, building, if you would. But it all goes back to this. Look up here. Last statement. It all goes back to pleasing God. That's what this is all about. It all goes back to pleasing God. We want God to be pleased. We want God to be pleased with our lives. We want to take what He's given us in the way of faith, in the way of the understanding of the Word of God, and we want Him to build up that faith, look up here, and then we want to put it into use, put it into practice. Loving thy neighbor as thyself is part of faith. Wouldn't you agree with that? Reaching out, reaching in, doing something for somebody, caring for somebody, having a good marriage, a good home, working on some of the problems that come up, that's part of what God wants. Faith. Doing something for somebody else, missions. And by the way, we're going to have a missions emphasis in the first quarter. Oh, it's already being planned. I've got some very good clarity on the missions emphasis we're going to have. And it's going to be wonderful. I hope your heart will be touched by these things. Why? Because we want to have a good judgment seat of Christ. We want Him to be saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want Him to be pleased with our life. Not because so much of what we've done, but what He's done in us and through us. Because it's still Him working in us. Would you agree with that? If you've never received Christ as Savior, it's so clear to me that if you receive Christ, by what? By realizing you broke God's rules called the law, which we all have. We all broke God's rules. We're all sinners. We've all transgressed the law. Is that right? Once we realize that, then we can come to Him and ask forgiveness. Once we ask forgiveness and He forgives us, then also the Holy Spirit of God comes in us. And He gives us the free gift of salvation. Forgiveness is required. What precedes forgiveness? Asking for forgiveness. What precedes asking for forgiveness? Feeling guilty. Feeling ashamed. Feeling like you did something wrong towards God. Not towards me. Not towards the person next to you. Towards God. And then going to Him and say, Lord, I broke the rules. I know I shouldn't have done that. And I'm asking forgiveness. And by the way, He'll forgive you. And then He wants to come in, and the Bible says, sup, abide, be with us, help us. Help us to do something in our lives that we couldn't have done by ourselves. We couldn't have even envisioned it. Little did Joshua know that he would start as a, look up here, slave. He was born, no doubt, when the Egyptians had the Israelites as slaves. The Passover, the Red Sea, the Amalekite fight, the Kadesh Barnea, 10 spies, we don't want to go up. Two of them said, we are well able. Going on through, waiting 40 years, planning. Moses goes up to the mountain, sees the promised land, and God says, that's it for him. Joshua takes over. Joshua leads them, if you would, across the River Jordan. And then he says, command them. Go out and tell them what's going to happen. Hey, we've never passed this way hereto before. God's got something new for us to do. You've never done this before. We're going to follow the ark of God through the River Jordan into Jericho they go. Destroy Jericho, and then they started conquering and conquering and conquering and conquering. And Joshua did something for God with his life. Momentum. Did he have some snags along the way? Did he have some shortfalls? Sure he did. Did he think about turning back? Yeah, one time, just after Ai, he said, would to God we would have stayed on the other side of the river. And God said, we're not thinking that way. Get up. Get up. We're not thinking that way. We're not staying on that side of the river. That's not my plan. I brought you across the river. And we're going forward, Joshua. There's a little problem in the camp. Get that taken care of, and then we'll move forward again. So they went and got that problem taken care of, and off they went conquering again. What a wonderful way to go. What a wonderful way to use our lives. Look at this. It is not time to quit. It's not time to stop planning. It's not time to get distracted. It's not time to get out of our Bibles and, if you would, let some of the things that we used to know, the first principles, slip. It's time to keep them fresh and do something. Oh, by the way, we're not going to pressure you. These are opportunities. These are opportunities. We're not going to pressure anybody. I'm not going to call you some name. I'm not going to scold you. Here's an opportunity. Hey, if you want to come along, come on, let's go. Let's go see what God has for us and for our family. Let's let our children see God working in our midst. Let's build their faith while they're young. Maybe they'll do much more than we were able to to do in our lifetime. Maybe we had some things to fight through that they won't have to fight through. Maybe we'll leave them something that they can use as tools to do much more than we ever thought about doing. Why? So God can be pleased. Because that's why we're down here, is to give Him pleasure. Revelation 4, last verse, don't turn there. That's our task. Sometime look at it, is to give Him pleasure. And He's pleased when we do something operating by faith with what God wants us to do. Lot coming up. Can't wait. I can't wait till tonight. Don't know what you're doing tonight, but we're getting together at 6 o'clock if you'd like to come back. And I'm going to give you something tonight, a concept that might just be something you'd want to study for a while. I'm very excited about doing it tonight. By the way, if you've lost a little momentum, feel like you're in a pit, going through that long valley, wonder where God's at, He's nearer than you think. He went in the valley with you, He's with you in the valley, and He'll be on the other side of that valley. But sometimes it's hard to see Him in the valley. He's there. He's got a plan. Keep going. Come up on the other side and watch what He does for you and with you and through you. Don't give up yet. Hey, everybody still breathing? Then He's not done with us. If you're still breathing, He's not finished with you yet. Because He's the one who gives us breath. If we're still breathing, He's still got something for us to do. I'm excited about what it is. I hope you are too. Now come back tonight. And let me show you some things. With our heads bowed. Please, just for a moment. Thanks for listening this morning. First of all, and foremost, if you've never yet received Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ could author your faith right now and give you the understanding to your need for salvation if you'd let Him. Something might stand in the way, like pride or unwillingness to admit the need for forgiveness. But it would be so simple for you just to be obedient to that conscience and just realize it's there for a purpose and a reason. And if it's a little guilty, just to go to God and say, "Forgive me. I'd like to ask Your forgiveness, and I'd like to receive Your forgiveness, and I'd like to become a Christian. And then I would like You, if You would, Father, to conform me more to the image of Christ and begin to use me in whatever shape or form or way You can, so I can give You some pleasure before my life's over." Maybe you started that way, but somewhere along the trail you got a little distraction, you got a little bit off course, your faith began to weaken a little bit, you got out of the book, you stopped doing, you stopped acting. Maybe this morning it's time to decide to start rebuilding that faith with actions upon that faith. Getting involved in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe you got to go back and strengthen a relationship first and then get involved. Whatever it takes, with a goal to please God. There's a lot going on, a lot of opportunities. Or maybe you're already involved some way, shape, or form. You're just visiting this morning. Thanks for visiting. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming. Go back to wherever it is God has you assigned in the place where you're at and decide you're going to do something this year by faith for God. And maybe somebody else will be encouraged and challenged. Faith is an attitude. That pleases God. Faith is understanding. Faith is abiding. Faith is doing. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Pastor, I need to start with salvation. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, pray for me that I would start, and that this morning
God would work with me and show me about what salvation is really all about, so I could understand, so I could start and become His child truly, genuinely. If that's you in here today, would you slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Just pray for me that I could begin by becoming a Christian. Good. Good. Right where you're at, you could ask the Father, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ and through what He did on the cross for you personally years ago, to forgive you. And you see, it's His blood that is the redemption, the payment, and it's His death that's the penalty instead of your penalty for sin. He paid the penalty for you. When you receive Him, that penalty is wiped away. It's put back on Jesus at Calvary, and you don't have to pay the penalty of being cast away from God forever. Right where you're at, you can ask Christ to forgive you. And if you don't get all the words right, believe me, He understands your heart. Or if you'd like, we'd love to take a Bible. If you're a man, another man. If you're a woman, a woman. And show you some scriptures and pray with you. If you're unsure of your salvation, we'll pray with you today. No gimmicks. Just something for you that you need. We'd just be glad to be a servant used that way. Now, if you know somebody that's out of touch a little bit with the Word of God, or used to be active in God's work and aren't, why don't you pray for them this morning? And if you're in here today and you need to ask God to bring you back around to abiding faith again, why don't you do that? This morning, we have an old-fashioned altar. Whether you need salvation, whether you want to pray for someone else, pray for yourself, if you want to just stay in the pew, you're more than welcome to do that, but we'd like to be a help if we could to you. A lot of ways I could do this. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. If you'd like to stand, and you'd like to slip out and come down and have a time of prayer with maybe your family, last Sunday morning of the year, or maybe your marriage, or maybe just by yourself, or maybe you'd like to pray with somebody, you're more than welcome to do whatever it is that you feel comfortable doing. If you need salvation, you raise your hand. And you honestly, genuinely know your need, please give us an opportunity to help you. We'd be more than willing to do that this morning. As the instruments plays, if you'd like to come, just stand, slip out, say, excuse me, I'd like to come pray for somebody else I know. We'd like to come and pray for ourselves. Believe me, you're in a place where nobody will be upset if your need of salvation is excused.